What's your desire this evening?
Lord, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Oh, come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over, over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord. Sing it this evening. Oh, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Yes, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord. Just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. This is 30 in your hymn book. You looking forward to higher ground? I believe we're climbing higher each day, but I believe there's higher to go. One day we'll get out of here.
I'm pressing on the upward way. Heaven's table land. some glad morning. When this life is over, I'll fly away and to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
The Lord. Let's see, do some quick math. I guess this is the 9th service in 7 days. Is that right? So God is good. No better place we could go to spend our time, and it's been a good week. So we'll just keep praising the Lord this evening. As we go to prayer, Brother Jeremy Clements requested prayer for his dad, Brother Junior Clements. He is scheduled for surgery on Tuesday to remove a portion of his esophagus. Please remember him and the medical team in prayer. So it's a very serious surgery. So we just believe that the Lord will intervene in that situation. I want to remember Sister Sierra Scott for Traveling Mercy. She's traveling home to Delaware this evening. I also want to remember Brother Jimmy Art in prayer. He's not feeling well tonight. So Brother Lee, would you make your way up here to prayer with these prayer requests? If you have an unspoken prayer request, just make that known to the Lord by an uplifted hand. He sees each need and he cares about each need. So just hold one another up in prayer. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a privilege, Lord, to be able to call you Lord. God, we just pray that you will just bless these requests that's been made known tonight. Lord, each one that was written down, Father, Lord, you know, before it was even written on paper, Lord, before the foundation of the world, what you needed to do. God, we pray that you would just meet this, Lord, need of this surgery. Father, you can touch and heal and deliver before the doctor even goes into it, Lord. Father, help them to have unwavering faith, Lord, in thy word. Give us all that unwavering faith tonight, Lord, for that's what we have need of. For your prophet said, Lord, if you even had cancer, Lord, but you had faith, you would be fine. Help us to remember that. Help us to go forth confessing, Lord Jesus, these things. Lord, you said your body would obey your confession. So help us to confess that unwavering faith tonight. Grant it, Father. Bless the speaker, Lord, tonight. Anoint us all, Lord. Help us to lift you up and praise you, Lord, above everything. God, we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. This is 389 in your hymn book.
When peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, oh, whatever my life thou hast taught me to say,
shall resound and
my soul. Oh, it is well, it is well with my soul. But Lord, 'tis for thee, for thy it is well.
Can say that with more than just intellectual faith. We can stand on that. It is well with our soul. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you. Oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you.
Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, oh, dwell in you, if that spirit dwell in you. Amen. You thankful tonight to have that spirit dwelling in you? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Sunday night, 9 services almost over. You get a break for 2 days. And then we'll come back Wednesday night and have service, Lord willing. So we certainly enjoyed being in the services, most of all being in the presence of the Lord. And before we had the services scheduled with Brother Andrew and Brother John, or at least before we had the dates locked in, I'd asked Brother Zion to preach last Sunday night. And so I thought that worked out well to have him kind of at the opening of the services. Then, well, he already spoiled my surprise, but... Brother Aaron, I had him scheduled to preach tonight, so I certainly enjoyed Brother Aaron last time he spoke for us at Watch Night Service, and did a wonderful job, and just really, you know, all the young brothers surprised me, and not that I didn't think they would do a good job, but you just don't know the direction somebody's going to go when you haven't heard them preach, their style and the way that they study and the things that they bring out, so each one very unique in their own ways, and so certainly appreciate Brother there, and Lord willing, in a few weeks here, he'll be going with me and Brother Stephen and a few other brothers from the church to minister in Florida as well. So just excited about what the Lord is doing for these young brothers and their ministries, and coming with anticipation tonight to see what the Lord has laid on his heart. And you just pull on the gift that the Lord's placed in his life. And we believe that the Lord will just come on the scene, speak through our brother to us for what we have need of. I know we've heard a lot of word already this week, but each brother in their own unique way. Brother John, he had a very unique way. Brother Andrew, very unique way. Brother Trevor, his own unique way. Myself, Brother Branham started off last Sunday morning with Come Follow Me, with his very special, unique way that God had brought him up and gifted him. And now we've got another brother that he's got his own unique way of ministry, own unique way of delivery. And so none of us brothers can be the other brother, but I believe each one has been a blessing. And so you just pull on the gift tonight for whatever you have need of. Say, Lord, I've enjoyed church so far, but I have needs tonight too. I have questions on my heart. I have things in my life that I need you to come and speak to me through our brother again tonight. So you just pull on the gift and we'll expect a good time in the Lord. And let's sing this together. Same key, Brother Joshua, key of C. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. Oh, I do not know just why he came to love me so. Oh, he looked beyond all my faults and he saw. Are you thankful for that tonight? Oh, I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to view the cross where Jesus died. Let's sing it again together as our brother comes. Oh, I shall
bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace, Lord, this evening. As we come before you, Lord, it's amazing to see a group of people who would come down and welcome your presence yet again, yet another day in a row, Lord. To the world, it just doesn't seem natural that we'd come before you time and time again and still be hungry for more, Lord. We ask tonight that you would come and feed us once again, Lord. We just ask that you would provide for our needs, Lord, those that we don't know about, those that we do know about, Lord, and anything under those raised hands, Lord. Please help us to get out of the way and to yield to whatever you have for us tonight. I ask that you please help me pull and help the brothers and sisters pull as well, because we want to hear from you, not from us. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity to gather together. And in Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. All right. You can go to Genesis, please, if you open your Bibles. I'm going to get right into it. And that'll be chapter 3. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. That's my whole text. You may sit down. Everybody's familiar with this phrase, with these scriptures in the light of the serpent seed, but that's not what I'm going into tonight. I wanted to talk about a specific part of this verse, and that is, well, a couple parts of this verse, actually. It says, she saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Now, whenever it comes to food, first it has to attract you by your natural senses, right? It could be your smell, it could be the taste. Something has to attract you to that food for you to want to go for it in the first place. Now, spiritually speaking, she picked something bad up and she tried to share it with others. Now, there are two types of sharing. You know, Brother Andrew, whenever he was here, he talked about convinced and concerned. Now, there's a good thing, there's a type of sharing you do whenever there's a good thing, and then there's a type of sharing you do whenever there's a bad thing. Now, the type of sharing you do when there's a good thing, for instance, it's these meetings we just had. I'm sure some of your friends, you've invited your friends over, said, hey, we're going to have some great meetings, and it's a good thing. So you'd be proud of that, and then you come forward and be like, hey, you know, maybe post it on social media or something. Be like, hey, there's something good that's going to come from this. You should come and then enjoy it. But I believe Eve took part in the bad version of sharing of things, right? And that is whenever it's something bad, such as like, well, let's say it's someone wants to share some drugs with you, right? You're a kid in school. They're not going to come forward and be like, hey, in front of the classroom, while the teacher's standing there, they're not going to be like, hey, I have some drugs, let's share everybody, right? Nobody's going to do that. They're going to be like, hey, they're going to sit beside you in class and be like, hey, just come over here. After school, meet me behind the school, and then there's going to be something over here. I believe that's what Eve did with Adam. She knew in her heart of hearts that it was something bad that she was trying to share, right? Either that, or they'll try to push you into it, right? They think there's safety in numbers, so they want to push you into receiving this bad thing that they know they shouldn't have in the first place. So more and more people, like, you know, I'm from Kenya, and there's a phrase we call whenever we know we're going to get in trouble for something in school, like we would say tukowengi, and it just means there's a lot of us here. So even if they want to punish us, they have to punish everybody, so nothing matters. That was our slogan in school. They had corporal punishment where they beat us with rods, you know? I mean, that's still allowed there, you know? But if the teacher has to beat the whole class, their arm's gonna get tired. Like, nobody cares, you know? That's why we'd say tukowengi. Whenever we do something bad, we do it as a group. And that's the mentality whenever you're doing stuff like, well, that's the mentality whenever you're sinning, you know? That's the same mentality. You don't want to do it alone. You know it's wrong. So you try to go in there and you pull some people out with you, you know? Yeah. So I didn't know what I was going to be ministering on today until this morning. And I've been slapping notes together for the entire time. So this is probably not going to go in any flow of like normal flow of thought. Just trust in the Lord with me here. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, well, did that just show up on there? I hope not. Okay, in 1957, Brother Branham says, that's a really long title, but you can read it. And I'm taught that when we eat, if we are used to eating small portions, our stomach shrinks to that portion. And if we eat much, our stomach stretches to that. And I think we need some spiritual stretching and get much of the word. Amen. Can't be satisfied with just reading a little verse once in a while or something of that manner, but stretching our spiritual gastronomics, right? Now, this, you're the kind of people who he's talking about. You come forward, you listen to a 3-hour tape to prepare for 9 services in a row, and you didn't even need the whole tape. What did we need, like one quote, Brother Trevor? I didn't understand that. It took me until Thursday to realize, wait, I just listened to that whole thing and I still haven't heard mention of souls that are in prison. But I was hungry for it, so I actually finished the tape. Thank God. I'm not going to ask whoever else did, right? I was honestly about to listen to just the first hour of it, but then I changed my plans that week and listened to the whole thing, so praise the Lord. All right. But it takes a special kind of person to keep coming back and expect more every single time, you know? Now, this phrase, I underlined it, is spiritual gastronomics. I looked it up online because that struck a chord with me, you know? And I was like, surely there must be a definition for the word gastronomics. Not actually. I couldn't find the word gastronomics outside the message on Google, which is saying something. I found this phrase, and that's gastronomy. The definition of gastronomy is the art. Well, there's 3 definitions here, but I want to go with the first one for now. The art or science of good eating. And that's what he's talking about whenever he says, you come back for the word again and again. Amen. Because it's good eating, right? Amen. It's not bad eating. I mean, there's nothing really motivating to come back over here for, unless it's like, you know, the 9th sermon out of a 9 sermon thing. And you're listening to the minister who has to study a lot more, right? You're listening to that guy, like, we came for this, really? And right now he's sweating and you honestly can tell he's nervous, you know? But there's something here, Lord. Like, you know that there's something here, amen? Right, and it draws you back. Even if someone like me just comes over here and stammers and stutters through the whole thing, right? Well, that's how I came up with my title. I was looking at it and I wanted to talk about spiritual gastronomics. Because I believe that culturally speaking, well, there's a second definition actually. Let's go back here. Let's go to the third one on here. The art of preparing and serving rich or delicate and appetizing food, which would be what I should have done by preparing for this sermon, which I didn't actually do, because I don't really have an art about this. It's all God who helps me through this, right? Now, also a style of cooking as a particular region. So I feel like culturally speaking, it has an effect on the way you eat, yes? And that applies to you both spiritually and naturally. So I'm gonna type that to my own life to keep you guys from being nervous, okay? I'm not gonna try to bring you guys into it, but I have an African perspective of the way Americans eat, and I believe that will help us today. I don't want you to feel nervous though, okay? I'm not judging you at all. I should judge myself. Because I got here and I gained weight, all right? So, does anybody feel nervous right now? Oh, Brother Jalou, he's nervous? Okay, well, for his sake, I've been saving this. For his sake, I'm going to go, and for anybody like him who couldn't raise his hand, I'm going to clear the air here and show you a picture of me at my fattest in life, okay? Then you'll know I'm not picking on anybody. And I'll have embarrassed myself fully. So here we go. Wait, come on. I don't know.
There you go.
Right there. You see? Look at him. And if you're not sure that's me, look at the clueless look on his face. All right? That's definitely me. Okay? Now that we got that out of the way, nobody should feel embarrassed at all. Okay? Because you see me at my worst, and I'm not really talking about you physically. So I'm going to type a lot of things spiritually and physically, and I don't want you to be nervous. Okay? Let's find out where I was. Did I already read that? I didn't. Okay, so inspiration. Inspiration is 1956. As science can only go so far, then it falls back. We got unpacked resources by a divine promise from none other than the Son of God saying, "Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it." Amen. I feel religious right now. Oh my, to think of that. All things are possible to them that believe. I've got enough faith for the sick now. God, give me enough faith for something else. I'm hungry. My gastronomics are swelling out. I want more of God. Amen. We should want more of God every day. And I wouldn't have actually spoken on this, except I feel like after these meetings, you know, you hit this high point and you want to keep pushing past that point. Wow. But I want you to think of it to help you, I want you to try to think of it in terms of food. You want more food, right? Who says, hey, I ate last week, I don't need to eat again for another year? I mean, how many people say that from meeting to meeting? I'm going to eat a burger this meeting, and I'm not eating till the next meeting comes around next year. Nobody's going to say that, right? You need it every day. Otherwise, you're going to die. And I want you to realize you need this spiritual food, which is the word, every single day, or you're going to die, or you're going to backslide or go back a point or two, you know? Now, let's think of it this way. If God was cheesecake, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious or anything, but if God was cheesecake and you're having dinner with your family and there's cheesecake there, cheesecake is my weakness. That's why I chose that. But if there was a cheesecake in our family at the family dinner and someone said they didn't want theirs, I would say, hallelujah, that's more for me, right? That's exactly what I would say. Now, I want you to think of it this way. Now, if people don't show up to these meetings and don't profess Christianity, profess atheism and such things like that, I'd be like, okay, God, yes, I hope they get converted eventually, but hallelujah, there's more for me. I'm going to look at what's in the Word and take it for myself because, I mean, His Spirit doesn't diminish because some people take it and some people don't, but still, I'd be like, God, just give me what they didn't want. I'll take it. I'll take it all. I don't care. It's okay to be greedy sometimes, okay? It's okay to be greedy sometimes. You know, I went to a Catholic school for a while, and they have something called the 7 deadly sins or something like that. I don't know where they came up with it. I've never seen it in the Bible. I'm not done reading it, but I've never seen it there, you know? And greed was one of them, and it's supposed to kill you. But I believe that there are some instances where you can just be greedy, you know? And this is one of them. You should take everything God has for you. You shouldn't turn down any of it, you know? And you should profess it, too. Again, I'm kind of going in different directions here. The Supernatural, 1956, and that's what the matter with the people today. They got the campground cramps. You know, I stole that from you. Okay, yeah. They go to a revival and have a great time. The first thing you know, a little after that, before another revival could come along, they're back in the world again, all right? And I just don't want this to slip past us, you know? I want us to be seeking God years from now. I want us to be seeking Him decades from now. You know, I want our lives to be a testimony where we can point back to whatever we did here, whatever God did for us here, and be like, that was the time whenever it changed for our families and generations to come, if the Lord tarries. That is, you know, we shouldn't stop anywhere. The Water of Separation, 1955. I just learned from some medical research the other day. I just learned from some medical research the other day what leprosy is caused from, the wrong diet. That's what causes sin, is the wrong spiritual diet, right? And Brother Branham says the major disease that's affecting the world today is sin disease, right? It's not heart disease, it's sin disease. And that can be caused by a wrong diet. And I'm trying to prove that here today. He says it causes eating leprosy that only God alone can cure. All right, now... Let's think of it this way. Our diets are determined by us whenever we're young, right? Culturally speaking, And again, I'm not poking at anybody. Don't be uncomfortable. Please don't look at me that way. I can read your facial expressions and it's funny. Okay. So they're determined when we're young. Whenever we're born, we all breastfeed, right? That's where you get your main source of food, nutrients and all that. That's what you get whenever you're born. In the same way, spiritually speaking, your mother is the fifth gospel, right? According to the prophet, right? You're going to learn a lot of things from her. She's going to set the tone for your spiritual experience, right? The first things you learn are from her. What's right, what's wrong, you know, she'll slap your hand here and there, what you can eat, what you can't eat, and all that stuff. But then you become a child and you grow into maybe, let's say, 5 to 12 years old, you know? And your parents watch what you eat. Like, maybe you go to the restaurant, they'll give you some options, but still, they're like, hey, you got to get some vegetables, you know? You got to get some of this in there, mix it in there. And it's kind of controlling. Like, if I was an adult and someone told me I had to eat asparagus, I'd probably fight them. I'm just saying. I would not want to eat asparagus. I cannot stand that stuff. However, in the same way, you go to church and they make sure you go to church. As a child, you don't always choose to do such a thing, you know? It's your parents that bring you there. I think that tape you listened to last Sunday, he said 86% of the conversions, yeah, were before 21 years of age, right? And that's because your parents continually take you there and raise you in that environment, you know? And at that point, you still don't have much of a choice. At that point, your parents, until you get the Holy Ghost within those first few years of age, they're acting as the Holy Ghost for you. They're trying to help you and guide you and point you in different directions and set the rules, you know? However, we become adolescents, and that's the fun part, right? We all get these part-time jobs, and then we suddenly have a little life away from where our parents are, and ooh, we can afford whatever we want to eat, right? I just loved that part, because whenever I turned 19 and I came here, I ate whatever I wanted to eat, okay? It was great. And as an example of that, I got another picture for you here. As an example of that, I'm trying to show you how I got to 260 pounds. I would eat something like that. That's called a 7x7. If anybody's been to Steak and Shake, it's 7 patties and 7 slices of cheese. And it costs $7.77. Now, isn't that revelation right there? Completion, completion right there. Now, I would love to eat those things. I would eat them regularly after work, you know? And I mean, it's just $7.77. And the deal was, if you could eat two of those, they were free. Why wouldn't you eat that, you know? I ballooned in weight, I'm just saying. It's a good deal. I loved it. I'm not sure where I was, so hang on. I'm getting used to this iPad thing. There we go. All right. So, spiritually speaking, as an adolescent, you probably get... Oh, wait. I shouldn't be walking on that part. Right. Sorry. Spiritually speaking, as an adolescent, you develop this life away from your parents. You know, it might be at work. It might be, you know, you get an internet connection. There might be something like social media where your parents aren't constantly watching what you're doing every minute of the day, you know? And that's where the danger forms, you know? And it kind of depends on who it is and how they were raised and what they're feeding on at the same time, whether they will be completely influenced by one side or the other, you know? And then you go to college. Now, college is a dangerous place, and we pay to go there. And I'm not going to bash on college because I go there. I go to college. I'm not bashing on college. However, I'm saying it's a dangerous place. And as freshmen, I mean, you were raised on your mother's home cooking, right? And that's what gave you a good physique in the first place, you know? You have a good, healthy body because you were under your parents' home. But if you go to college and you go into your early 20s, that's whenever you're not completely under your mom's influence or parents' influence. And at the same time, you have to eat whatever you can find outside in the world all the time. Now, you go to college and they start feeding you whatever the professor decides to give you, you know, on the spiritual side of things, right? You start to hear less and less about the Bible or the message because most of your time is spent studying and studying for exams and doing all those things. So, yeah, that's how college affects you. And at each step of the way, I hope you're noticing, at each step of the way, you can get derailed. You can have a neglectful parent from the day you're born, and you can be derailed. Right. From whenever you're a child, your parents cannot take good care of you, you can get derailed. Any point of the way, you can get derailed. And there's only one way to come back, honestly, and that's through God working a change in your life, you know? And I hope that's what you recognize this path. And actually, it doesn't start with college freshmen and going to school and all that stuff. From here, I'm just gonna actually imagine things because I'm only 25. So I assume when you get middle-aged, you start to get out of shape, you know? Because you've just been eating whatever you wanna eat this whole time and and your parents aren't there to tell you what you can eat and what you're not gonna eat. But at the same time, you have less and less time to study the word, maybe, because you're raising your kids. Yeah. That's a noble thing to do, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that. You have a career and, you know, a house and a home to build and all those things, I imagine. Yeah. Don't quote me on this. But you have much less time to seek God, you know? But at the same time, you have those children who you are trying to raise and you're doing your best.
There you go.
How can you turn around and then start trying to tell them what they should and shouldn't eat whenever they have you for an example and they're looking at you, you know? And it's like, well, I'm not sure I want to eat this asparagus if that's what you did, Dad, you know? Or Mom. that's not the way they would think. And now, spiritually speaking, you try to tell them to go to Sunday school. Try to bring them to church and to youth meetings and camps and stuff like that. But if you're not living the life in front of them, what on earth can you say? I mean, they have a pretty good argument in their mind against whatever you're telling them to do. Amen? Yes. Okay. And you're trying to make them eat their veggies, and that just will not work. At any point along the way, I used to do this a lot. And I would have spiritual diets, you know, because actually, let me background this because not everybody knows me. So I was raised in this message, you know, and that doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't really. In fact, that example Brother Trevor used Friday night of the young man who, you know, cleared out his hard drive and everything, that was me. I'm not doing that to elevate myself. I'm just trying to give you a bunch of examples, you know. That was me. And then I eventually started listening to a tape every day. Now, before that, I used to watch whatever movies I wanted to and download whatever games I wanted to and everything, you know, books, all sorts of stuff. And it would take all of my time away. Now, not every last one of those things I was downloading or watching was, you know, bad. It wasn't inherently bad to do so. However, I realized, actually when I was 12 years old, I realized what I was doing was not right, at least in some regards. A lot of the music I was listening to was not right. I had thousands of songs. And what I would do is, I think the first time I did this was when I was 12. What I did is I would delete all my music and then say, okay, from now on, I'm just gonna live without it. And that's it. And 2 months later, I would have every last song back. And nothing was changed. And I didn't understand what was going on, you know? And it took me a while to realize I wasn't filling that void with something else, you know? So I would go back to, I would have no music, so I'd be sitting in the room and it would be silent and I wouldn't be doing anything. Now that's boring. And that's like the worst thing that can happen to a young person, right? To be bored.
Right.
And an idle mind is the devil's workshop. That's the saying, right? So I would just be like, okay, I kind of remember that tune and it's sort of like a Christian song, so I'll just play it because it doesn't have any bad words and I'll just download that one. And then eventually I'd download more and then they'd all be back by the end of 2 months, you know? And I call those spiritual diets because much like, let's say 2 years ago, I decided to go on a diet because I was already 260 pounds after coming to America. I don't know what the correlation there was. But I was 260 pounds, and I decided, okay, I'm gonna go on a keto diet, because obviously, The problem with what I'm eating is carbohydrates in general. Now, whenever you go to school, you're going to be shown something like this, right? Oops, is that the wrong one? Nope. This pyramid, right? That pyramid right there. You're going to be shown something like that. And they're going to be like, hey, you need to eat a lot of that, a little less of that, a little less of that, all the way up to the top, right? Now, according to keto, you just cut off the bottom rung of the pyramid right there, and you should be fine. And you should be fine. You can eat everything above there except the top where the sugar is. And it's pretty much all the stuff in the middle. Now, in the same way, I would just decide, you know, that's the thing that's making me fat. I'm just going to go after that by itself. And I was just like, okay, I don't need to fill the void with anything, you know? And eventually I realized, I think I did that like two or three times until about 2018. And then I realized, okay, something's got to change. And I listened to a tape. After watching all those movies and doing all that stuff, I decided to listen to a tape. And that changed my life, okay? And I didn't actually listen by listening to a specific tape or anything that changed my life. I would say I listened to a portion of it, and it took me days. Keep in mind, I was so spiritually lost that I couldn't finish a tape. It was that hard. In a day, I couldn't even finish a tape. I couldn't even do that. Now, today, I would say that's really terrible, you know? And that's the same way, like, you can spend your whole life eating cheesecake like I love to do all the time. But then if someone gives you a little piece of broccoli and you still eat the same amount of cheesecake, it doesn't work out, does it?
Right.
It doesn't work out. So I realized, hey, if I listen to one more tape, then suddenly I don't want this, I don't want to watch a movie as much anymore. That's when stuff started to change. I was like, well, I can't balance this and this at the same time. It made my stomach upset. You know, that's what it is. It made my stomach upset. I couldn't understand, okay, why do I suddenly not have the feeling to do this anymore? And I started dropping activities like flies, like crazy. And then I started seeking the Holy Spirit. Now, that's where a whole bunch of us got to last week. We got the Holy Ghost. We got a refilling, you know? But I realized after I got the Holy Ghost, you know, I want to keep it up here, you know? And this is my testimony. I just wanted to keep it up here. And a lot of people tend to worry about what they're going to do after, you know, you throw out all the movies, you throw out all the entertainment, all the fun stuff that you like to do. What on earth are you going to do with your time? Let's go to Matthew 7:31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. You seeking Gentile, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And then Isaiah 28:9-12, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. God can't actually show you that much if you just stay stuck in one spot, you know? He can't grow you if you're stuck in one spot. And that's the way a lot of us end up being from year to year, you know? And I don't expect the whole church to hit some great revelation or anything. This is an individual affair, you know? It's about each person. Sure, we're all at different levels, right? Some of us need to study more. I'm just going to keep... It's been 7 months of listening to... All right. I tried to bring in Athalia into this thing, and I just couldn't. I really wanted to. I just couldn't bring... Okay. Each one of us should be growing one form or another at different levels, you know? And at different paces. I understand that. And growth isn't just sitting there listening to the word, you know? Like me listening to a tape every day, it doesn't actually grow me at all because that's just getting fat. I'm just intaking and I need some exercise. You actually have to actually exercise your faith and bring it out, you know? If you don't actually do what the word's telling you to do and actually act on it, then you're not getting enough exercise and you go back to being fat and American. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this. I know some of you are listening to me like, oh, those stammering lips. Will he speak to this people? To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. If you want more rest, you just need to open yourself up to the word. And you have to keep it balanced with the precepts and the lines, precept upon precept, line upon line. Same as a balanced diet. Wait, the food pyramid isn't there anymore, but you can imagine it. It's a balanced diet whenever you have all those things together, at least theoretically speaking. You know, I went online and I typed in the food pyramid because I thought it's easy to find a food pyramid. That's something I saw in grade school. I thought it would be easy. And there were like 50 kinds of food pyramid on there. 50. I mean, I'm just exaggerating. Maybe there weren't like actually 50, but I saw a keto food pyramid. I saw a paleo food pyramid. I saw food pyramids for like, I don't know, vegans and stuff like that. And that's what happens. Like, you go outside of God's word, you're going to find so many variations of things you should do, you know, things that you should intake that people's opinions of what it should be. And there are conspiracy theories about how the food pyramid was, like, you know, made up by the government so they make you buy more grains or something like that. And I was like, I just want a picture of the food pyramid, you know? That's crazy. Anyway, next scripture, Hebrews 5:11-14, of whom ye have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as ye have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And again, that comes down to each individual. Good and discerning both good and evil. I'm not about to come over here and tell you what's good and what's not good. You know, just like Brother Trevor didn't on Friday night. There's no way we can tell you what's good and not good for you, because I believe, physically speaking, and natural and spiritually speaking, only you can determine what's good for you and the Holy Ghost. I mean, the Holy Ghost can determine what's good for you spiritually, and then naturally you can determine what's good for you. Like, what's going to make me lose weight and keep fit is not the same that's going to work for somebody else. And I wouldn't expect it to, you know. We have different metabolisms and different, you know, microorganisms in our bodies and everything. And that actually makes me think, yeah, the same for young people. Your parents aren't the Holy Ghost.
Right.
All right. I'm not saying when you get the Holy Ghost, ignore your parents. I'm just saying that they will probably allow you to do things that you probably shouldn't do, you know. And at the same time, they will probably not allow you to do things that you probably can do. However, they're just doing their best and praying to God, you know.
Right.
Now, sometimes you may get frustrated with them and everything, but, you know, they're just doing their best. And it will come to an age whenever you have to decide that for yourself. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, hopefully. Okay, so I have a really long quote, and it's about horses. Hope you like horses. The invasion of the United States, 1954. I remember as a boy, once we had an old horse, and he used to jump the fence all the time. And I guess many of you men at my age would know back in the horse days, buggy days, I've come many a time right down this street here, driving a horse and buggy myself. I'm 45, so I remember this old horse. We'd put a yoke on his neck, like you would a cow, to keep him from jumping the fence. Sorry about that. From jumping the fence, and he would jump anyhow. And he would hang that yoke and turn him around and so forth. He'd get over the fence. And one day, I wondered what was attracting... Oh, man, did I mess this up? Okay, well, and there was a big sinkhole down there. Now, he was standing on alfalfa, oh, hi, but he wanted, there were some blades of orchard grass in a sinkhole. And he jumped the fence and got in that sinkhole where all these wire and glass where we were in our dump, and get in there to get a few mouthfuls of that orchard grass. And we had to get some, we had to get some more horses and pull him out of that sinkhole. When he got in there, he got hung up. And when he stood out there, he was quivering and bleeding, and now he was to get a mouthful or two just of that orchard grass when he was standing in alfalfa almost to his knees. I've often thought of that picture. A way of a transgressor is hard. He wouldn't just stay still where he was eating and having a wonderful time, but he had to jump the fence and get all bruised and cut up like that just to get a mouthful of grass of some other different kind. Now that's just about the way people does that jumps the fence of God's pasture. Don't you believe it? Congregation says, amen. Gets out, go out today, come in, is in church having a wonderful time, then tomorrow sell out for something like that. It makes it very hard. Keep in mind, it makes it very hard on you. He's just hurting himself because he's getting cut up by glass and barbed wire just by jumping the fence. And all he has to do is stick with that grass that he has right there. Right. That's all he had to do. And God provided all of his word here for you. There's no reason to jump out. I'm not saying never, ever, ever, ever consume something except for God's word. However, there's a place and time, and you have to determine that for yourself. If you're not seeking for it, then what are you doing? Right. Without money or without price. That's the way it is to a born-again Christian. They found something so much greater than the rock and rolls and the entertainments of this world. They are entertained by the Holy Spirit. It's so much greater to the world is dead to them. But when you go to this cheap entertainment, you must remember that you've got to take lots of money. A young fellow who takes his girlfriend to these parties and these dances and so forth is going to pay a great lot of his week's earnings. And the old people who try to find pleasure in going to the beer parlors to drink away their sorrows of the week, they're going to have to pay great money. And what do they get from it? They don't get nothing but heartache. And remember, you got to settle up with God someday for it. And the wages of sin is death. You don't make nothing here on earth by it. It's a false mirage. You know, a lot of things that we consume in from day to day, since you can't inherently say they're bad, let's just pick on a movie, right? It may be rated, you know, PG-13 or whatever. I don't really know much about ratings. But compare it to a cookie. If someone's going to give you a cookie, and it was a chocolate chip cookie. You ever been to Penn Station, anybody? Those chocolate chip cookies? Yeah, they're amazing. Now, if someone gave you a chocolate chip cookie and then said, one of those chocolate chips is not chocolate chip, would you eat it? No? What if they said it was a booger? Would you eat it? Would anybody eat that cookie? I don't think so. And that's something you're putting into your body, you know? Now, spiritually speaking, if you're going to watch a movie and somebody says, hey, there's only one cuss word, why would you watch it? You know, I'm not saying throw the whole thing out, but if at least if you can't get it cut out or be rest assured there's nothing wrong with that movie, why would you watch it? That's disgusting. Oh. Why did I? That's so disgusting. Okay, drinking will only add sorrow. Sin will only add death upon death. Your final check will be separation from God eternally into the lake of fire, and you cannot gain anything but lose. You know, I'm happy we come to a church like this where there's so much variety of what God can give you. There's so many gifts that are working around here. You know, you got the musicians, you got all sorts of ministers. If you don't like one minister, you can just wait and cycle around to the next one. It's super easy, right? If you don't like tall ministers, me and Brother Steve will sit down. Brother Caleb will come right back up here. It's going to be great. If you don't like dark-haired ministers, one of the Emans will come. Brother Steve will come back. It doesn't matter. If you don't like foreigners, Brother Till and I will sit down again. You know, if you don't like sideburns, God bless you, because that's the pastor, and he's always here. All right? You can't do anything about it. But God gives you so many blessings, you know, so many different variations of his gifts. And it's just like the buffet that Brother Andrew Glover was talking about, you know, it's a 120-item buffet. You shouldn't turn one down, right? You know, the one thing you can't really choose is just, I mean, let's say I'm ministering gifts. I would say the prophet, you're stuck with your prophet, you know, and you don't want to be caught fighting against him. I hope you don't have a problem with him. But God has so many different things in his word for us, you know, so many gifts and so many different things he's calling us to do up to a higher plane, you know. We shouldn't turn any of it down. God bless us. I hope we as the eagle stirs her nest. That's the way the gospel is. If it don't get your spiritual gastronomics all stirred up, make you real sick, you won't go to digging and find out whether it's right or not. That's right. It's good for you. It'll stir you all up and fix you up, make you ready for the rapture when it comes. That's right. Yes. The Comforter, 1961. Then if we shut ourselves off from the glory of God, from the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the fellowship of the Spirit, the first thing you know, we become pale, sickly Christians. Our experience is growing out, dim, and when the great trials come, we shrink and go back. It takes that soldier who has lived in the sunlight of God. It takes that spirit who knows God. Where there is not a wave of doubt, they can stand in the midst of trouble and cry out, "My Redeemer liveth." Hallelujah, that's it. We shut ourselves off. And they do it automatically, but we do it because we want to do it. But God is good. He provides it for us. Who would want to admit to shutting themselves off just because they want to do it? Because this is something about choices, you know? Sin or not sinning is all about choices, and it's something that you choose to do. You know, it's something you choose to put in your body. It's something you choose to, you know, fellowship with and to have a part of, whatever you spiritually are seeking, you know? And what are you seeking whenever you go into these activities and things that you know you shouldn't, things that are just slightly off cater? You know, what are you seeking? Because God gave you everything right here, you know? So it's something that you choose to step into. But God is good. He provides it for us. But too many today don't want to get into that healthy place with God. A healthy Christian, have a healthy spirit. You certainly would rally for a healthy body. Anybody would. Well, the body, no matter how much health you put in that body, it's going back to the dust. You know, I'm trying to find this quote. Hang on a second. It's in Psalm 78. In fact, I'm just going to use the Bible because iPad's tripping me up. Could you open to Psalm 78, please? It's talking about the children of Israel. It's almost a summary of the book of Exodus and how time and time again they rose and fell. Okay, let's look at 16. And this is God providing for Israel time and time again, from the time they left Egypt all the way through the desert, through, you know, until Kadesh. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. So it's just a common thing. God provides for them, shows them the miracles, provides everything they need, and then they turn him down time and time again. Verse 22, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow on in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, and rose about their habitations. So they did eat, and were well filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust. See, there's the problem, verse 31a. They were not estranged from their lust. So God was still giving them what they needed, but they hadn't cut off their lust. So they were still seeking something else. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths. See, they hadn't actually finished chewing, you know? They didn't actually chew and swallow that food that God had given them. They had just held it in their mouths and they kind of tasted it. Let's see, think of it as a wine tasting. Anybody ever heard of those? You know where you go to? I'm not saying anybody over here does that, but just think of it as a wine tasting. They just take a sip of the wine. I needed that, it was necessary. But I take a sip of the wine and they spit it into a bucket. Now, Brother Branham tells us that wine is the stimulation of revelation, right? if you just took a sip of it and spit it out, you're not getting any of it in there, right? Nothing is getting really revealed to you, is it? So just like this, they still had the meat in their mouths. Think of it, I think Revelation 10:10. Yeah, John the Revelator, he takes the book and then he eats it. Now, the word of God, it's not always going to be perfect and sweet whenever it goes down. Sometimes it just hurts so good, like it hurts you and scalds you. But it's amazing how many different varieties and tastes there are to it. Now, he tasted it in his mouth, it was sweet as honey, and then it goes to his belly and it was bitter, right? But at least he got it down, right? He didn't just keep it in his mouth and then start complaining like they did in verse 30. While their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. God help me not to be like that. Let's see. 45. I'm trying to remember where I was. You know, next time I'm probably not going to use an iPad because it's just too much for an Android user like me. Deuteronomy 10, for the Lord your God is God of God and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and the widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. And then Job 23, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I know this message was hackneyed today, and I wish it came out better. It worked out better in my head. But I hope this helped you in one way or another. I wasn't trying to make fun of people who were, you know, different body sizes or anything like that. I just want you to think of what you're putting in your mouth, what you're accepting, or what you're accepting in your life, you know, what you're accepting with your family. Whatever you have control of, just try to manage that and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Musicians can come back. Can you play Fill My Cup, please? Heavenly Father, thank you for coming down and helping us to receive your word tonight, Lord. It's just another course of a very long meal, Lord, but we're grateful for every bite of it. We accept everything that you have for us in life, Lord. We just want to seek you more, to know more of what you have, to seek the unsearchable riches of your glory, Lord. Please come down in our lives, Lord. However we seek you, however much we're able to digest, Lord, we just ask that you please continue giving us an appetite and pointing us in the direction to fulfill that, Lord. Not in whatever the world has to offer us, Lord. Please help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that cannot satisfy, but then I heard my Savior say, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my
fill it up and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. There are millions in this world who are seeking for things that earthly things afford.
272.
But none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Here's my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole. So my brother, if the things this world gave you leave hungers that will not pass away, my blessed Lord will thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
You can keep playing that softly.
No.
Day after day, this should be the cry of your heart.
Lord, please fill me up with whatever you have for me.
No, it's easy.
it's easy to develop a routine and just check off your list, you know, read your Bible and pray and do whatever you have to do. But like I said, you have to exercise it. You can't just be constantly intaking the word. You have to actually do something with it. And whenever you, I think Jesus says, as you were freely given, you should freely give, you know, and then he'll fill you up again. Spread the word of God, you know, do whatever he's leading you to do. Let's sing that one more time.
I lifted up, Lord, come and reign, thirsting for my soul, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more.
Is that your desire tonight? Appreciate the word of the Lord tonight. Amen. Don't let the devil beat you up over that, Brother Aaron. It was wonderful. Spiritual gastronomics. I believe that's what we've done this week. Exactly what Brother Bram said. Stretching our spiritual gastronomics. Sometimes you go out of town on vacation, and every place you go, you plan it out around restaurants. What's the best restaurants in this city? And you eat a big lunch and you think, oh my, that was good. But supper's coming. By the time you get back, it's time to go on a diet again because you've stretched out your physical gastronomics. But I believe this week, service after service after service, God had just poured out a spiritual buffet to us. And we've stretched out our spiritual gastronomics. What was the name of that 777 thing at Steak and Shake?
Seven.
The 7x7. Brother Jonathan, is that why you keep trying to get me to go to Steak and Shake all the time? I know where he's going tonight. They're open 24/7. He's been waiting to said, just dismiss, Lord, so I can get my spiritual 3 7s. Amen. Amen. That's good. As soon as he started talking about food, me and Brother Jonathan, he had our full attention. We were alert. We didn't feel so tired anymore after all the services, and we were ready to go. But my wonderful, wonderful job, Brother. The Lord really used you. Spoke to the young and the middle-aged and the old alike. Amen. I'm going to have to remember that. Tuco Wingy. Am I pronouncing that right? Tuco Wingy? Okay, yeah. What he said. Amen. That's how I feel sometimes, you know, when the enemy tries to come and combat us and things like that. And if he can get you isolated, Brother Bram said, thirsting for life, it's that one little deer that gets away from the rest of the herd that the wolves go after. But we look at the devil and we say, what is it, brother?
Tukowingi.
Tukowingi. Amen. What are you going to do? There's a lot of us here tonight, Satan. Amen. There's been a lot of us in these meetings and the Holy Spirit here. One, Brother Bram said, is the majority in God's eyes. But, amen, don't isolate yourself away and let the devil tell you, well, nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. Somebody forgot to shake your hand at service last week, so they must have a problem with you. That's what the devil wants. But the bride stands united, amen, with the Holy Spirit. It's been good to be in church all last week and this week. And I have a quote, Brother Bram said, let the pastor sleep in on Monday. So I'm gonna put that quote in action tomorrow by the grace of God. And I apologize to all of those of you that have to go to school or work. I'll be thinking about you while I'm sleeping. And I'll just be praying, Lord, you give them a good time at their job and their school. And I'll just dream right on by the grace of God. But
Amen. Brother Furman, come and sing something. I don't have the voice to sing it, but let's sing a song or two before we're dismissed. And God bless you richly. Appreciate you coming out and participating in the services. You know, this is not a spectator sport where you just come and sit there and be entertained, but it's something where we enter in as well and be a part of service. God bless you richly.
I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. Well, I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And as I pray and press my way into your kingdom true, oh, I'll grow to be more like you. Just by 282, if you don't know it. I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. I know your arm is not too short, that you can reach me too. And press my way into your kingdom true. I'll grow to be more like you, just by reaching out to you. Oh, I'm reaching out to you, dear Lord. I'm reaching out to you. Well, I know your arm is not too short, and you can reach me too. And press my way into your kingdom true. I'll grow to be more like you, just by reaching out to you. Let me walk blessed. Thou hast gone leading straight to the land above. Oh, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Lord, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, and let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love, and keep me close to the side of my Savior and guide. Let me never in darkness roam, and keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. And soon the race will be o'er, and I'll travel no more. I'll abide in my home above. Oh, let me sing, bless the King, all the way to the shore.
You young people feel this way after this week, and know that falling in love with Jesus is the best thing that you could ever do. I just hope you've driven down some stakes this week, and that we never look back and keep moving up. Let's sing this little chorus before we go.
falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Falling in love. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. In his arms, in his arms I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected. In his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Let's sing it that way again. In his arms, in his arms I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected. Yes, in his arms I feel protected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever. God bless you. Let's sing it as we go. Falling in love. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus. Yes, falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. In his arms.